This is Stephen Annette, economist from MoneySmartFamily.com and authors of The Money Smart Family System.
And you're listening to Vicki and Jen, What Really Matters.
A few words for a successful life.
Always ask why.
Why?
Tell the truth.
All the time.
Why?
Write thank you notes.
Eat right, sleep right.
And exercise.
If you don't like your job, change it.
Why?
Be creative every day.
Take a fun trip.
You don't always have to do things fast.
These motivating thoughts from Randy Tausch's last lecture remind each of us to live our dreams.
Can I go now? My dog wants to play.
Oh, yeah. Play with your dog.
And with your kids.
Motivation. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Vicki and Jen, making life simple so you can enjoy what really matters.
The cost of college. That small statement makes most of us curdle a little bit. Is a debt-free college experience a fantasy, or could it be a reality?
Well, Stephen and Ed Economidis, America's Money Smart Family, are here to share how they made it a reality. They're the authors of several books, but the latest one being The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, girls. How are you?
It's so good to be with you again.
Well, we're doing awesome.
Good
thank
to be
you.
With you. And, all right, so I'm thinking this isn't a fantasy or we wouldn't be doing a show on it. Like, this is reality, right?
Right.
It can happen.
It can be, yes.
All right.
Just, you know, it's the old thing of, you know, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. And there's a lot of people that college debt is killing our economy.
Oh, yeah.
$1 trillion in student loans. The interest on it alone is the 76th biggest economy in the world.
What?
The interest alone, $536 yeah. billion a year in interest. Now, break it down. I mean, because we don't really relate to those numbers, but I looked at the 170 countries in the world, and that sits about number 76 in gross domestic product.
But oh,
the average God. Student today is graduating with $30,000 worth of debt, and they get a $27,000 a year job. They usually marry somebody who's just as average as they are. They've got, you know, $60,000 worth of debt, maybe a car loan, and you're talking about siphoning off $600 to $800 a month of their earning power just to pay for school.
That's a mortgage payment.
That's a financial disaster.
If
they won't start investing in 401ks, retirement, or anything like that, for years, and that's going to make them dependent on other people later on.
You know what's interesting about that, Steve, is that you just said it's just not the college loan that's the issue, because it snowballs into that house you didn't even mention after you get married and share mm-hmm. someone else's student loan that you have a baby together. And when do you ever get to pay that off? because life happens. It just,
that's right.
It's a huge debt.
What's happening, girls, is the students that are graduating, like you said, if they mm-hmm. get married and if the babies come pretty quick, they're not able to buy a house right away. It just isn't possible.
First-time home buyers used to comprise 33% of the home buyer, no, 43% of the home buying market. Mm-hmm. Now it's down to like 31%.
Mm-hmm.
So like a 12% drop. It's really hurting our economy.
So you said in that the average debt for one college student was about $30,000.
Right.
But college would cost more
college
than that.
College costs a lot more than that.
Well, that's how much that's how much they're borrowing.
Right.
So they're paying for some of it with grants, some of it scholarships, some of it cash, and the rest of it loan.
And that's an average, so there's probably people less, and there's people, with a lot more.
And
Absolutely, Jen.
We've met them with $200,000 and $500,000, and they weren't doctors.
Oh,
it's scary. I mean, I met a gal the other day whose parents wanted her to be a doctor, so she went to school and she racked up $70,000 worth of debt, decided she didn't want to do that, took a couple years off, paid it down to $50,000, and now she's going back to school to be a nurse. The cost of indecision and not being prepared is huge.
And we're going to talk about that. That's
coming up.
That is the perfect segue to lead into our next topic. topic.
Right.
Go
I
for
agree,
it.
Because after those huge numbers, I'm like really thinking this is more of a fantasy now. But you guys are going to tell us how it can really be possible to go debt-free. So, what's first?
I think we're going to work you through the steps, yes.
Good.
And I want to throw one more thing in.
Okay.
When we were first married, and I was earning about $7 an hour, and we had our first baby, we met with a financial planner because we didn't have any debt. And he said, oh, you guys are in a great position. Listen, you got a son. So first off, you need to have life insurance. And second off, you need to start putting away $200 a month for his college education.
Well, yes, we had no debt, but we were living on poverty wages.
About $1,000 a month.
And we were barely, barely covered all of our necessities.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of saving money for our children, a child's college education was really a figment of our imagination.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So what we decided to do, though, is we decided to invest in our kids.
Right.
And we spent time with them and helped them learn how to learn so they could get that education and go to college.
But and high school is the perfect time to start looking at college, okay? Because you can start filling out applications for scholarships as early as sophomore year. But the other thing to do is to look at your kids, try to figure out, help them figure out who they are in high school, have them start getting involved in organizations that help build their resume to make them a well-rounded person for college. So things like scouting, Congressional Award out of Washington, D.C., 4-H. Have your kids do volunteering. Honor societies are great to belong to. Key Club, leadership clubs, anything that they can do.
Wow.
YMCA has a youth in government. Like, our daughter at one point thought she wanted to be a vet. So I said, okay, let's find out. So I called a vet about a mile from our house, and I said, I have a daughter that's considering going into college for veterinary medicine. Can she volunteer there? They said, sure. So she went up there one morning, only 3 hours from like 9 to 12, one day a week, and she did it for about 6 months. And after 6 months, she said, Mom, I don't want to be a vet. I said, you don't? She said, no.
Wow.
I think the vet that I was thinking of was more of a rural country vet, because a suburban city vet basically spends their whole day spaying, neutering, and trimming toenails.
Good time to find out when she did.
Well,
yes,
I think.
And I'm like,
yeah.
And I am like, this is perfect because now she hasn't embarked on this journey, a very costly journey for school, that she's going to end up halfway through or near the end saying, I don't want to do. So if your kids...
You know, and we even took it further because we were taking a trip to Colorado and there was a particular school that she wanted to go to in Colorado. We went and visited that school, and we talked with the dean of the veterinary science department, and you know, we helped her research it. We didn't make the decision for her, but what we want to do with our kids is help them avoid that $30,000 or $60,000 transition year in college when they change their major, which about 30% of students do.
Whoa.
Or they graduate from school, and they say, you know, that was a waste. I don't really want to be an engineer. I want to be a dancer. You know?
Oh, my God.
We've got to make that decision. We got to help them make that decision smarter before.
I mean, the earlier the better. Yeah.
Yeah, the high school years are the time to let them really test a lot of those waters to figure out what they want to do. And college is not for every kid. You know, there are trade schools out there also. Mm-hmm. Plumbers, electricians, air conditioning and heating techs. They all earn very good money, and you don't need, I mean, you like I said, you can go to community college for 1 or 2 years and have what you need. So
you know,
make sure you know who your kids are.
You're bringing up a good point, and it's funny because I know so many kids that go off to school and that it's like they have to declare what they're studying. You know, when they're 17 years old, this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life.
They know.
And, you know, how are they really supposed to know that unless
they
do like what your daughter did, which is awesome. But
that's so smart.
And then you think about it, everybody feels like they need to go to these big, giant schools. And I'm kind of like, everybody coming out with a business degree or computer science or whatever, but we're always going to need plumbers and electricians. And,
absolutely.
You know?
That's right.
Gosh,
so if you have a kid that doesn't really like academics but is fabulous with Legos. He really ought to consider plumbing.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Our oldest son wanted to be a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
He was he wanted to be a game warden, and I took him on a U.S. Department of Labor site. And
you went to the Game and Fish Department.
Yeah, and we found out that to be a game warden, you had to have a master's degree, and you'd earn $30,000 a year if you got hired. You know,
ooh,
he said, I don't want to do that, you know, but I want to catch poachers, you know, I want to catch bad guys. So he changed it to being wanted to be a policeman. So we got him involved in police explorers, and he hung out with cops. He went on ride-alongs. He went and put the bike suit on and got bit by a dog. You know what I mean?
But still, when he volunteered for police explorers, he met some cops that were, I don't know, I want to be careful, because not all of them are this way, because he had a friend that he did ride-alongs with that was awesome. But he did meet some cops that were very
they knew the laws for everybody else, but they didn't really apply to them.
Just say it.
Right, just say it. You can be blunt.
It's a contradiction. Anyway, at the same time, he was volunteering at our church running the soundboard for the youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to college, gets his two-year degree in criminal justice, ends up staying, working at the church. They offered him a full-time job. He ended up making $50,000 a year working at this large church running sound and lighting.
Hmm.
He's now working at an AV company, and he does shows all around the country
for,
right now.
For NASCAR and Google.
Wonderful.
And he earns good money, but it came out of this silly volunteer position at first that turned into a part-time job that turned into a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's the head sound engineer on these huge trucks that head out to these different conventions.
So what we're saying is, by knowing your children and helping them to pursue their passions and testing the waters and
that sort of thing
is going to save us money later. We're not going to waste money on the wrong direction.
That's right.
Great
Love
summary,
that.
Vicky.
Yes. Okay. Good job, Vic. Okay. Moving on.
The next thing that's so important for high, once again, we're in high school, is your SAT and your ACT scores.
When do you take that?
You want to go to college.
Yeah, when? Yes. Tell us when. You're just saying in high school, which around here is 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
What year do you take ACT, SAT?
Well, typically they take them senior year. But I'm going to give you a tip here that not a lot of people know about. Yes, there is a fee for the test. And by the way, if you're struggling with low income or unemployment, they have waivers so that you can take that test for free.
Oh, good to know.
And
you go to the website called collegeboard.com, and they'll have a fee waiver section. And by the way, just for Vicky and Jen listeners, we created a resource list with links to all of the websites we're talking about. And so you go to moneysmartfamily.com/college podcast.
Okay.
College podcast.
And it's going to have links and a lot of this information on there.
Awesome. Thank you.
So back to SAT. The cool thing about SAT scores that a lot of people don't realize is you can take it multiple times, as many times as you like. I think it's up to 2 a year, but you can start your sophomore year in high school. So that your kids kind of get exposed to the test, get used to taking the test, so it's not a one-time thing. And the neat thing about the SAT is they always keep on record your highest score. They have writing, they have math, and they have, I believe it's English, but I'm a little bit fuzzy because it's been a while since our
whatever
kids took it.
Whatever the sections are, they keep the highest score no matter what you do the next time.
Right. So, for example, one of our kids took the test, did really well in two areas, but didn't do so well in the third. So we said, okay, let's take it again. Well, the day he went to take the test, he was sicker than a dog. And I was like, you know what? This is it. This is your only chance. You got to go. You're signed up, you know. You're running out of time. So
don't worry about the other areas.
Don't worry.
Just
you just need a higher score
right.
in this one area. Mm-hmm. He took the test. And thankfully, those two areas that he didn't need a higher score in, he did do worse. So they kept the previous higher scores. The one he needed a higher score in, he got.
Good.
And they kept that high. So they always keep the highest score.
In each
the other
category.
Thing is a lot of people take their kids to take the PSAT.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't transfer to the SAT. So just take the SAT. And if they bomb it, you know, it's not
doesn't matter.
We're still going to keep the score. But here are, we're going to give you two resources that are free that help will help your kids prepare for the SAT and ACT.
Right. The first one is learningexpresslibrary.com.
And that's accessed through your community library. They usually pay for a membership to it. It is a pay-for site, but your library will get you access.
So basically, you can even do it online from your computer at home. You put in your library card. It, you know, you follow the little bunny trail, you get there, and you can do your practice testing.
So another reason libraries are awesome. Wow.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
That site is not only good for SAT. It will have ACT, GRE, government exams, civil service exams, all kinds of stuff. So it's a really good resource.
Then there's another one called digit2.com.
Just like the number two pencil.
Okay.
That's
where
the idea came from.
That's
and that's
funny.
Another practice website where our kids went. And it wasn't as extensive as Learning Express Library. It was different. And so the more they practice, the less test anxiety they're going to have.
Right.
And the better they're going to do.
Right.
Wow. That sounds like a given that I've never heard of those before. But
either.
Of course you should be practicing and ease some of that anxiety. That makes sense. Sure. Sure.
Yep.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
So let's say you get them on track. You have an idea. I mean, their freshman year, they're volunteering. They're involved interning or doing stuff, you know, figuring out where they want to work, what field they want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And they've decided they want to go to college, and they practice their test. Well, now, what are you going to do to pay for this? And here's where we set up kind of a bottom line, and that is we aren't going to borrow money, period. Okay, because we didn't want to strap our kids with that burden, and plus we didn't have the money to pay for it. So if we take that as a bottom line, it's kind of like working within the confines of, let's say you're a writer and you have to write an article, and they say, look, you've got 500 words. Okay, I can work with that. I can be creative within those limits. You know, we're going to challenge couples on a date night and be as creative as you can. And you can go out for $10 and see what you can do for $10. This is a restriction we put on ourselves to protect ourselves and protect our kids. So let's say we say the bottom line is we aren't going to borrow money or we're going to borrow very little.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Well, that will focus you on different colleges. Like you may consider community college instead of going to a four-year college initially.
Right.
But the very first step, depending on where you, regardless of where you go, is that you're going to fill out the FAFSA. The free application for federal student aid.
Now, there's a lot of different FAFSA websites because there's copycat.
Oh, there's people
copycat
to get
ones out there, kind of scamming folks and charging folks money.
You got to be careful.
So you want to make sure you go to FAFSA.
Yeah, hold on. I want to make sure we say this right.
I'm pretty sure it's FAFSA.gov.
No, it's FAFSA.ed.gov. Hold on.
He's going to get the exact.
Well, we're going to have to pause the tape now.
So you're saying FAFSA.
FAFSA.ed.gov.
And that's on our resource sheet that we just mentioned. So, yeah, you've got to go to the right one.
So here's what you're going to need. And this is done the senior year in January or February.
After your taxes are done. So you gotta get your taxes done.
Right,
early.
One from one to the other, right.
Right. Okay. And what you do is you want to allow like 3 or 4 hours to fill this out. And you're gonna need parents' financial information, how much money you have in the bank, how much money you have in savings. They don't count IRAs or 401ks.
Or HSAs.
They don't count HSAs, they don't count home equity. And then you need your students.
Financial.
Now, I want to give you a tip, and I'm not going to tell you what to do with this, but just know that the student's financial information is weighted heavier than the parent's. So if you want to qualify for more student aid, the student should have the less assets the student has, the more financial aid he'll qualify for.
I see.
So there are families that juggle finances to make things work better.
Good to know. Can I back up and ask this? So when we're talking about the free application for student aid, this is for assistance. Is this the same as scholarships and grants? Or are they all,
they're all
different?
Good question.
This is from the federal government, and this qualifies you for Pell Grant money. The maximum at the time we're recording this is about $5,600 a year per student.
Wow.
But Vicki, it is grant money, which means you don't have to pay it back. If you qualify for it, It is given to you to go to college.
Okay.
Great.
You don't pay it back. That's the key.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
This is not money you have to pay back.
Right. Okay. Got it.
All
okay.
right.
So this is why we complete this application, so
right.
we can see if we're eligible for student aid or grants through the government.
But it's also the benchmark that most universities use to determine whether you qualify for other financial aid.
Right.
So they use this application to determine your finances.
Okay.
So they pretty much require you to fill it out. And that takes us to the next point, is there are millions and millions of dollars of scholarships out there.
Wait, I got to jump in and just say, for the FAFSA process, you have to get a PIN number.
Oh.
So you can't just go and do it all in one day. You've got to apply for a PIN number and then wait a couple of days. Once you get your PIN number, it's all through email, then you can go and actually, that's where you need the two to 4 hour chunk to actually fill it out. So
okay.
just remember, there's a couple of stages to get it done.
Of course,
and
the government, it's going to be simple.
And, and you said that other schools use this application to determine your eligibility for financial aid through them. Does that mean they use that application, or is it the same application when we have to fill it out again?
No.
Same.
Fill it out once.
Okay.
And when you fill it out, you'll tell them what schools you're interested in.
Awesome.
And they will send it directly to the school.
Awesome. Do they charge you for this process, or is this free?
No.
Some people will, but the real website will not.
Awesome.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
There are people out there who will try and make money off it. So let's talk about this. You can sign your kid up or encourage them to go get a part-time job, and they may earn $8 an hour, they may earn $10 an hour, and they may save some of that money for college. But what if your kid could earn $100 an hour?
I like that
better.
Would
you be interested in it?
Sure.
And we found out we found ways for our kids to earn that much money by filling out scholarship applications.
They still all had part-time jobs.
Yeah,
a kid can easily juggle 10 hours a week at a part-time job and go to high school so that they have spending money for all their recreational activities.
Right, but through the senior year and all through college, there are kids viewed scholarship applications as their part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
it paid off in ACES. It was just amazing.
Okay.
There were so many times there's millions of scholarships out there, or millions of dollars in scholarships out there. And a lot of times the smaller scholarships, the $500 and the $1,000, don't get as much publicity or as many applicants as the $100,000 Coca-Cola scholarship.
Right.
Or the duct tape prom gown scholarship. You know, that's a $5,000 or a $10,000.
But sometimes the applications for the $500 ones are fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get 10 of those, guess what? You've got $5,000.
Right. And
so,
that is cool. Joe had this happen a couple times where he filled out a college scholarship application for a small amount, and he got double the amount.
Ooh.
Because they didn't have enough people apply.
Oh, my gosh.
Bonus.
It's crazy. I was talking to a recruiter at a university, and he said, here's another tip. If there's a scholarship that is ethnicity-based, and you are not that ethnicity, fill it out anyway.
Really?
That because the foundation that funds that money, a lot of times they have rules that say, we have to give away X number of dollars a year or percentage or whatever it is. If they don't have enough applicants, they will go down the list to the next qualified applicant.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know that.
He saw kids that were Anglo getting Hispanic scholarships.
Is there a limit to the number of scholarships a student can receive?
No,
absolutely not.
Well, let's qualify that. We're going to talk about two different kinds of scholarships. One is outside, independent, privately funded scholarships, and that's things like the Coca-Cola one and the duct tape and these people, wealthy people who left a foundation for kids who live in a small town in Indiana who are going into civil service. I mean, called the book the Foundations and Grants to Individuals. It's about a 3-inch thick book. And check it out at the library. And there's also the College Blue Book that has tons of scholarships, more than most of the websites we're going to reference in a second. But there's an unending list of scholarships.
Okay.
But university scholarships are different. And this is still a very important place to go. When you decide on the school you want to go to, or narrow down to two or three, you go to their financial aid department, and you go into their website, and you look into the college. You know, university has several colleges. They may have the College of Fine Arts. They may have the College of Nursing, Science and Technology, whatever. You go into their financial aid website portion and the specific college, and you look at what scholarships they have available for students in that area of study.
Okay. And that'll vary from year to year.
It'll vary from year to year and vary from school.
Okay.
School. I mean, the older schools, like, you know, Ohio State, where you guys live, I'm sure that's one of the biggest universities in the country, and they've been around a long time, and they're going to have tons of scholarships.
Yes.
Arizona State University, where I went to school out here in Arizona, has tons of scholarships. They have one for Pacific Islanders. They have some for people from China.
Right.
You know, you name it, they've got it. The smaller schools won't have that, but it's definitely worth looking at.
Even the community college that our kids took AP classes in high school, which we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, there were scholarships that were specific to that community college, which
Bowery
was awesome.
Foundation.
Yep.
So
let me ask this. When you get a scholarship, say you get $500 scholarship, is that just for that freshman year? Is that a scholarship that is for each year that you're a grade?
That's a good question.
It depends on the scholarship. Some are renewable. Now, like our kids went to two of our kids went to Grand Canyon University. And Grand Canyon had a scholarship. They had the President's Scholarship and the Provost Scholarship, and it was based on your grade point average. And as long as you maintained your grade point average, you got the scholarship. And they were sizable. They were $7,500 or $10,000
per year, and it was renewable. So it depends. Some scholarships are a one-time thing, and some scholarships are renewable from year to year. It'll say as you read the fine print and you fill out the application. And
renewable.
It's worth researching.
Yes. Yeah. So let's name some of the places. Steve already mentioned the College Blue Book and the Guide to Grants, but there's some websites out there. Fastweb.com, did you mention all of those?
Nope.
CollegeProwler.com, Zinch.com, and on that resource list,
awesome.
All of that's on there. And then we recently found a new website, which is like a pot of gold.
Yep.
Go ahead and tell them about that.
Well, I always take our big, thick books, and I spot check to see if the thousands of scholarships listed in my book are listed on the scholarship website. And I've even talked to the vice president at scholarships.com. He said, we just don't have the staff to put in all of the scholarships that are out there. So the book sounds really good. But Unigo, UNIGO.com, I hit a lot of the smaller scholarships. It's a bigger website. And it's like unknown. We found it on Time Magazine's website.
Yes.
They just wrote an article on it. So
Okay.
The mother load. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and Steve, you had mentioned, like you were explaining the different types of scholarships. I know you mentioned privately funded and specific college or university scholarships, but just to quickly say, because I'm a very good student and I've been listening and I read your book, is that there's also military. And well, and that's kind of, we know what that is, but also unique. What's a unique scholarship, you say?
That would be something like there's a Hellenic scholarship for those of Greek descent, you know?
Okay. It's kind of private. It sounds private.
That would be.
Private, but it's unique. There's one for people who are left-handed.
You know, there's scholarships.
You're kidding. Oh, my gosh. She's being funny,
for girls
right?
that are tall. Okay, so, you know, those are what I call the unique scholarships.
Okay.
There was one out there for duck callers or something.
And that was before Duck Dynasty.
Wait, are you being funny or not funny?
Well, it is funny, but I think they're being serious. Are they seriously?
Think about it this way. If I had millions of dollars and I was going to die and I wanted to leave a legacy, I would leave money to fund something that I was passionate about.
Like duck calling.
Sure. Yeah, why not? I mean, it's crazy, but as many interests as there are in unique individuals, that's how many foundations there are that are giving money away. The first foundation in the U.S. was founded in 1660. And since that time, you've got to believe that there are hundreds of people every year who die and leave money to foundations. So there's unlimited resources.
Right. There's also your state sometimes different states have grants. Like we have grants specifically from Arizona. So the money is out there. It's a matter of finding it, hunting it down and finding it. But it's there. And there's even some books out there. Ben Kaplan, How to Go to College Almost for Free. And then the one gal that wrote the $500,000 scholarship winner.
Confessions of a Scholarship Winner by, I can't remember her name.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the resource.
It's on the resource.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
Now, I want to switch gears and just tell you about a friend of ours we met at a conference we were speaking at.
Are we really, really, really switching gears, like, off the scholarship topic, and we should take our break?
Take our break first?
What do you think?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Okay.
I'm going to come back and tell you about a kid that graduated in 22 months.
What?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Let's make this fast.
Okay, let's break. Break it quick. Okay, be right back.
All right.
What's the easiest way to keep up with what really matters? Stitcher Smart Radio allows you to listen to your favorite shows like ours directly from your iPhone, Android, iPad, or PC.
No downloading and no syncing. Anytime, anywhere. Download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in the App Store today. Welcome back. Steve and Annette have done smart and amazing things with their money. Visit our podcast tab at VickiandJen.com to find our past shows with them under the Money Matters section. Hopefully you guys remember we talked about savings at the grocery, money smart ways to better health, and most importantly to us was raising our kids to be money smart.
Now, you'll notice that at the time, we called them America's cheapest family, and that's
not a bad thing.
They still are. That's not a bad thing. But now, they're very proud to be known as America's Money Smart Family, and you can find them at MoneySmartFamily.com.
Okay. All right. So, we want to hear about
22 months
to graduation. What?
Yeah.
That's like less than 2 years.
Right? Good math, Vicky.
A friend of ours, well, Becky, we met at a conference, and she's really, really smart. And you know what really smart parents do is they have kids that are even smarter than them.
Yeah.
And so her son came to her at age 15 and said, Mom, I want to be a lawyer. What does it take to be a lawyer? And she said, well, first you have to get your undergraduate degree. That's going to take 4 years. And then you're going to have to go to law school, and that'll probably be another 3 years. Says, you mean I've got to wait 7 years? I'm going to be 22 years old by the time I get to start being a lawyer. That's too long. I don't want to do that.
Wow.
Isn't there another way? So she started doing some research because she loved her kid and she knew he was smart. And she found a college, and you know the name escapes me right now, but it's on our website, and I'm going to tell you where to look for it. But she found a college where she could take what are called CLEP tests. Okay, CLEP tests are basically a test you take, you read a book, you study for the test, you take the test, pay $80, and you get 3 or 4 college credits for it.
What?
Now, there are 33 CLEP tests available.
CLEP. What do you,
CLEP, and I'm not remembering what that stands for, but it's
too much information for our brain.
And it's also on this page. I want you to look up on our website, go and look for Dual Credit at Home. That's the business that she started,
okay.
Dual Credit at Home. And she wrote a very long blog entry for us, a guest blog entry. Where
and
she
it's on our website.
Okay.
She gives you tons of details. But basically what happened is she found a college. Most colleges will only take, you know, 5 or 6 CLEP courses because you're not paying them.
Sure.
All fees, you know, they want the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they want you to pay there.
Right.
So they'll only take a few. Well, there's a college in, I wish I could remember where it is, it's back east, North Carolina or something like that, that takes the majority of your classes as CLEP or DANTES, D-A-N-T-E-S, which were defense something tests for people in the military, but they're now available to everybody.
Oh, really?
So all those tests cost like $80 a class.
So cheaper than a college course, right.
Got done in 22 months and spent a total, now this was about 5 years ago, spent a total of 3 $40,000 for his undergraduate
degree. For a four-year degree.
Oh, my gosh.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, but the landscape of college and university education is changing. So I'm giving you this one. Dual credit at home on MoneySmartFamily.com. Read Becky's blog. Very detailed. And it's amazing. And then he went to law school. He is now practicing as an attorney in Houston. He's a district assistant district attorney in
Houston.
So it's a real story. His name's there. You can Google him. Look him up anyway.
But I would venture to say that when your kids are juniors and seniors, maybe even sophomores, they could probably study and pass some of these CLEP tests.
Mm-hmm.
And they could even do them over the summer. And or though some kids, their senior years at high school are so short, they could be doing them then. And literally our kids have cut at least a semester off of their college, if not more.
Well, how does that work?
Basically, they go into college having college credits already racked up.
So watch this. So if your kid goes to college and they've taken four or five CLEP tests, and they have 15 credits, they've just cut a semester off of their college.
Gosh.
$10,000 worth of savings.
I've never heard of that. And a semester of time. I mean, seriously, gosh.
So our youngest two kids graduated high school with 30 credits, college credits to their name. That cut a year off of their college education.
Wow. That is a dollar sign. Awesome.
Yep. Yeah, Abby, our youngest, is graduating this December, and she's finishing up clinical. She's getting a degree in athletic training, and she's done it debt-free. Joe, our second youngest, went to the same university with $17,000 a year tuition, paid for it himself, graduated in December of 2013, did it debt-free.
See, now you guys should be so proud. Are you sure you don't have, like, a bad egg in the family you're not talking about? You know, come on.
You know what? We aren't perfect, and all of our kids aren't perfect, and we readily admit that. But we are really proud of their accomplishments because they've all accomplished great things.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Another really simple thing that can save $6,000 a year, up to $6,000 a year, is if your kids are starting college, you know that they want to do that, they have something very definite in mind they want to go after, especially, I would say, as a freshman and a sophomore, if they live at home and they commute to college rather than living in the dorms and getting exposed to the party life and getting sucked down a path they don't really need to be going down. Once again, you have to know your kid, but that could cut $6,000 off of their tuition per year if they live at home.
That was me, and that's why my mom didn't take out loans. I did live at home and commute. That's probably why I don't drink beer today, because I didn't live in a dorm. Do you think so?
Why are you looking at me?
Oh. I don't know, dorm girl.
I did that path. Yeah.
And I did the commuting path that you're talking about. So sure.
Yeah, it's not as popular, and some people say you miss out on the socialization at school, but in some ways I think, is it worth $24,000 a year to go to all those parties?
And a lot of dead brain cells.
Right.
Yeah.
Bad decisions. Yes.
Oh, shoot.
Now, here's another stat I want to throw at you. This is when your child is in college. If they've had a part-time job through high school, that's a great thing. They've learned to work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you help them focus on their major, that's a great thing. They're way ahead of other people going to college. Statistics show that seniors from college become employed at a 30% greater rate if they have interned during their senior year.
Sure. That makes sense.
So
yeah.
Getting them in the workplace so they have a work resume when they're in high school will translate to jobs when they're in college, and if they can get a job with a business that is in their major field, that's going to help them get a job when they get out. Because being unemployed and in debt is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being unemployed and just not having debt, that's bad, but you can still get a part-time job and be positive cash flow.
And survive.
Yeah. But having student loans due when you don't have a job and you've got a degree, that's terrible. So we want to help them be successful.
Right.
Yeah.
Another
right.
thing to consider is that there are businesses, and I've got a list of, I think, 33 of them on our website, that have tuition reimbursement programs.
Oh, nice.
And one of those is UPS. One of them is Starbucks. Bank of America, and the list goes on and on and on. And so maybe you help your kids get jobs there.
And then we don't have time today, but there's also loan forgiveness programs also. And like you were talking about, I think at the start, Vicki, where, you know, you can go into the National Guard and they will pay back some of your student loans. There's places if you want to be a school teacher, there's, you know, school districts in the lower income portions of your state and cities where they'll do loan forgiveness. There is, if you want to be a medical doctor, once again, there's lower income places around the country where if you're willing to go in and be a doctor there, they will forgive some of your loans.
Awesome.
You know, it'll be X amount per year, but it will be some type of loan forgiveness. And we knew one of our daughter's friends, she paid off. She was a special ed elementary school teacher, and she paid off all of her school loans by working in a school district, a lower income school district, and got them all paid off that way.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So one more crazy idea at you.
Give it to us.
Many universities give the children of their employees free tuition.
Ooh,
or
that is a crazy
thing. Or like a 90% off.
Right. So, so maybe you become the custodian.
Do whatever it takes. That's what, you know, we said maybe if you've got a lot of kids going to school and, you know, maybe mom or dad takes a job at the university, even if, you know, I don't know whether it could be as simple as food service or it could be in the library. Who knows where the jobs are?
But the whole bottom line of this thing is if you go into a university education or any education, you say, hey, listen, I'm not going to borrow. I'm going to utilize creativity rather than credit. There are so many options. As soon as you say to the enrollment person, who's really a sales rep, I'm willing to take a loan, they will stop working hard to get you enrolled in that school.
Right.
If you say to them, I'd like to come to this school, but I'm not willing to borrow, you're going to have to do a few more keystrokes to get me in. They will start working, if they want to meet their quota, to get you in by finding more money. Now, I want to give you another example of how the landscape of education is changing.
Okay.
And we're going to see this change more rapidly as time goes on because the federal government is really cracking down on schools who tied students up with loans for degrees that they shouldn't have taken and in amounts that they shouldn't have been loaned.
Oh, my God.
It's criminal. And I really think that many of the people who used to do the housing bubble loan went into the student loan industry because you can get money without having any work history, without having a credit history, and without having a job.
And student loans are never declared. They are not allowed to be declared on bankruptcy.
So the lenders never lose. But watch this. There's a school called Southern New Hampshire University. They created two degree programs, four-year degree programs, one in communications and one in medical administration. And they have a flat rate fee for the four-year degree of $10,000. Most of the classes are online, but they've changed the way it's done. Instead of having to get 120 credit hours in so many classes, they said, we're going to create 120 benchmarks that you have to meet. So if you come in with work experience and you can, in the first 5 weeks, knock off 10 of the benchmarks, you're done with those portions of your education.
Oh, my gosh.
$10,000.
I like it.
Four-year degree, different way of looking at education.
That is.
And this whole program was built in conjunction with several businesses in the New Hampshire area that told them, these are the skills we need our employees to have. It's smart.
Seems logical.
It is smart, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and that kind of leads me to this. You said that there's this new way of thinking about education, and then you have your way of thinking about it. You know, you've got that rule from the front, I will not take out a loan. You know, and it's just that mentality. But it's funny how prior to this interview, I don't laugh. I seriously thought that possibly a loan or a scholarship was like the only way. And if you got a scholarship, there's just like, you're either smart and you get a scholarship or you don't, and you don't get a scholarship. And that maybe you can only get one scholarship. So there's a lot of misconceptions out there.
And don't feel bad, ladies, because the truth is this isn't really being taught anywhere. We really would like to write a book on college savings, and we just haven't. We have so many balls we're juggling.
Sure. Well, you know what? It changes. It's changing so quickly, too,
yeah,
and everything. Yeah, so, wow. Yeah, I'm with Vic. I kind of was. You either get a scholarship for being
you're
smart,
or you're not,
or you get an athletic scholarship,
or you have
and
to
that
get a
was
loan.
It.
Right.
Period.
Right.
There's so many. There's no one way. There's no one path.
Yeah,
Larry,
true.
If you have some money, and you save some money for your kids, but maybe they aren't sure about where they're going to go and what they're going to major in, then they go to the community college where classes are half the cost of the four-year university, and they spend those 2 years really figuring out what they want to do. And so that cuts, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 off the cost of going finding yourself at a four-year university.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a stigma about two-year universities.
Oh, this is so good.
But the truth is, when you have your four-year degree, does anybody ask you where you went for the first 2 years?
No, because you just transfer.
I'm glad you brought that stigma thing up. I mean, because when someone says, oh, yeah, I'm, like, working to be a nurse, and I'm like, oh, where are you going to school? I'm taking online classes. And you automatically think, are those credible? Is that a good degree? Like, you get all snooty. Like, you have to do it. Like, you can't do it online. Things are changing.
Well, and this is new. This is new this year. There are 12 states that are certifying community colleges to offer four-year degrees.
Oh.
I'm telling you, the landscape is changing, and it's being driven because of the debt crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So prices are changing, curriculum is changing, the way education is being delivered is changing. There's never been a better time to find a better price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just in time for our kiddos, Jen.
Oh, yeah.
So this kind of leads me to this. Everything, you know how you learn so much, and you should feel less stressed because Steve and Annette just gave us all the answers. But now it's like,
now you know
oh
you have to
God.
Apply for all the scholarships.
Well, I know. So this sounds like it could be a full-time job starting in high school, just getting ready for college.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but
how?
You want,
watch this.
This is the thing. You want your kids involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you can help them research, but it really isn't a full-time job.
It
may not even be really a part-time job, even if you spent two or 3 hours a week working on scholarships.
Yeah, I think that's a good
you're going to be in a way better place than all your peers.
Let's watch this kind of comparison. Okay, you just said full-time job. Let's say it's 3 hours a week for 20 weeks a year. So 60 hours times two people.
You're attaching dollar signs to it. Yep.
120 hours for 4 years, 480 hours, versus the average student who works for 10 to 12 years after they graduate, paying $400 or $500 a month to pay off those loans.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but think
when
of it
you
as
look
community
at it like
service
that.
To yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
and,
good point.
And this doesn't even mention the parents that are taking out loans, the parent loans for their kids, and basically mortgaging their future because of their kids' education. We get letters all the time.
Sorry,
I know I shouldn't have done this. My son can't pay back his loans. Yeah. Now they're coming after me. We're going to lose our house.
Oh.
This is not smart.
Yeah.
And it's not healthy.
Well, and I want to end by saying that there are many things that we didn't get to about college, and there's a section on colleges in the Money Smart Family System that Steve and Annette wrote, and you guys even cover, like, getting textbooks cheaper and managing money. Let me say that again.
Yeah.
Managing your money while you're in school, like food and clothing and entertainment.
Yeah.
And
yes.
And then, you know, guidelines and advice for how you can continue to help. Like, you know, not giving them $1,000 a month for stuff, but maybe giving them weekly allowances or debit cards. Like, you cover all of that good stuff, so there's so much more.
Thank you.
Yes. Gosh, I remember just, like, going to the ATM and trying to figure out what my balance was. Well, can I go out tonight or not? And, you know, then you forget
that magical card.
I know. I'm one of those that, you know, I did the dorm thing we talked about earlier, and I did the ATM. Steve and Annette are funny.
Cringing in their seats, I'm sure.
You're totally normal, Jen.
Normal.
Well,
that's the problem.
Steve and Annette, you two make one heck of a team. Thank you so much. You're so much fun, and we learned a ton.
So much, yes.
It was great to be with you guys, you girls again.
Well, everybody go to moneysmartfamily.com/collegepodcast. It will keep that page up for quite a while, but it's good for you guys.
That's right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so
we know,
much for that.
I mean, this is going to be very popular.
It is.
College is a doozy, so thank you very much.
You bet.
Please join us again as we learn, laugh, and grow together.
And make every day matter.